Hello and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. I'm your host, Eric Fisher, and this is the show where I talk to the people behind the productivity. This week, I'm excited to revisit a conversation I had with Julie Morgenstern. She is a well-known expert on organization and time management, and she had a book out called Time to Parent: Organizing Your Life to Bring Out the Best in Your Child and You. And before you skip out on this episode, if you don't have kids, let me just say that this isn't just about having kids and optimizing your productivity when it comes to figuring out how kids fit into your life when you already have a busy schedule. Even though I have kids, and it greatly benefited me to have this discussion with her about that aspect of this topic, it also enlightened me overall when it comes to productivity and relationships and having a well-rounded life. So not only if you do have kids, will you get a lot out of this about how to be a present parent while also being able to focus on your work. But if you don't have kids, you will also get tips on work-life balance and your other relationships with, say, a spouse or a partner or a roommate or your roommates or your friends. So I will get out of the way and say, enjoy this conversation with Julie Morgenstern. This week, it is my privilege to welcome to the show, Julie Morgenstern. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
So you are an expert on organization and time management. You've sold, not sold, but you've written, well, I mean, you've sold those books too, but you've written and sold those books all about organization and time management. And they've touched on the idea of parenting. It's definitely part of it, but this next venture that you've done with a new book and a new podcast, which I always love talking to podcasters, is specifically about being a parent and being organized and having time management in that area. And so I'm curious, you know, why are you shifting to focus specifically on that now?
Yeah, it's a great question. In a way, I'm expanding to this I've been a time management organizing expert for almost 30 years. And my client base is not exclusively parents, but it really has, and I've never marketed to parents, but probably 80% of my clients are parents, men and women with young kids, with school age kids, with college kids and high school kids. And the reason why is because the parenting years are truly, inarguably, the most time-stretched years of a human's life. Parents all have come to me around the world asking for organizing and time management advice with very similar goal, which is they just want to tame the chaos in their lives, at home and at work, in their schedules, in their spaces, so that they can really be there for their kids and for themselves and for their spouses and for their jobs. It's really about being there, and the organizing is an infrastructure to those goals. So I decided, why don't I just take this on? Because there's never really been a time management manual for the parenting years, ever. And I always craved it. Clients always craved it. I thought, I will do it. I will write that book.
And it comes along at a great time, because this is one of those things that is on the forefront of a lot of people in the business world, in the productivity world, even especially, again, in the family world. There's this phrase, a couple phrases, actually. Work-life balance is one that's been thrown around for, you know, a decade now. Self-care is the new version of that, basically.
Yes.
And you add, you know, self-care with child is almost a way to see it these days.
There's wellness.
Yes.
And in companies, they are catching on that caring about their employees' overall wellness really benefits the bottom line of the company, because they attract and retain higher talent. That retention is critical, right? Where, like, when you have high turnover because you have some kind of a culture that does not acknowledge people's family lives or whole lives even, you don't keep your talent very long. People burn out and they're not performing as well. And it's so expensive for a company. Every time there's turnover, you lose institutional knowledge. You use time to onboard the next person. And, you know, people are the most valuable resource in the knowledge economy. And as a result, companies are starting to care about the wellness. And it's what I would call work-life continuum. Right? It's a continuum. How we spend our work days has a direct impact on the quality of our time off. And how we spend our time off has a direct impact on the quality of our work product. Are we refreshed? Are we recharged? Do we get some perspective? How do we feel? So I think their companies are getting it. And yes, it's a really good time.
Yeah, it's almost like you shift from doing one role at your day job, whatever that may be, whatever form that takes. And then if you have kids, or even if you just have a spouse, but especially again in this conversation, if you have kids, you're shifting into this other role. And so it's not like there's a lot of downtime. Parents know exactly what I'm saying with that.
Oh, yeah. So. No, there is. That is right. Not only no downtime, and we can get into some of the detail, but there's also that transition time. And I think the balance, we talk about that being stretched. It is such a mindset shift for a parent to shift gears from their workday brain mindset, right? Work, to-do lists, getting things done, you know, the sort of never-ending demands and problems, and then cross the threshold and like show up and be present for their families and for themselves. And one of the things that the book does, and my work as a time management coach I focused on for years, is teaching parents how to make mindful transitions between their various components of their life. So before you walk through that door at the end of your workday, pause, take 5 minutes before you cross that threshold, and set your intention for your evening with your family so that you're not just mindlessly carrying over all your unfinished business from your workday through the threshold and like dumping that all over the house and your family. You make that mindful transition. And the same is true in reverse in the morning, right? When you go in after whatever, you leave your kids and or you drop them off at school or you leave for work, before you're going to have your mind full of family issues, concerns, unfinished to-dos also from your family life. 5 minutes before you walk through that door to your company, to your office, to your job, set your intention of what you want to achieve on the other side of that door with your colleagues, with your employees, with your boss, with your work, with your clients. And just taking literally 5 minutes to make a mindful transition before you cross the threshold into the next department has a remarkably clean and clear impact on being present and actually being able to put up edges, right? Because yeah. That's kind of what we need. Yep.
Yeah. And then you've got the people who, like me, are working in their home. And so their commute, that 5 minute mark needs to almost be something where they maybe even step outside and take a walk around the block and then walk in the front door as if they've been gone all day or something like that, right?
You bet. That is a phenomenal technique to use, right? When you work from home, it's the world's shortest commute, right? That's the big benefit. But you do have to be able to put up edges. When you work from home, just because you're home, you should not like run over and do the dishes in the middle of your day and do the laundry. Like I worked from home for many, many, many years. I think you want to get dressed for work every day. You want to make sure you work in a particular spot and not everywhere in your home. So you associate that corner, that area with work and the rest of your home with relaxation, right? Just because we can work everywhere because of technology doesn't mean we should. And yeah, make that transition. Go walk around the block, shed your workday, come in, honeys, I'm home. And there you go. Great idea.
Yeah. So in this family life, work life, or let's put it this way, like you said, work life continuum, being a day job person and then also moving into that transition and being home. And again, if you're working from home and maybe some of those people are home while you're home, there's all these different versions, all these different dynamics. I know many different of those are listeners of this show, but ultimately what we want to get down to is something that I've heard you say, which is that this is about raising humans and being human. And I'd love to get you to expand on that a little bit.
Sure. So when I decided I was going to write this book and I thought I need to write this job description, the instruction manual for time during these years, one thing that occurred to me that actually didn't even hit me until I had an empty nest, right? I was a single parent from the time my daughter was 3, and I was in it every day, right? And I was an entrepreneur, and I worked from home and served clients. And But as I was writing the book and trying to come up with the, how do you describe the, what we need to divide our time between while we're raising our kids, one thing that it hit me that I never really realized and no one talks about is that the child rearing years happen to be the prime of our own adult development years. Think about that, right? It's you are establishing and building a career while you're raising your kids, right? That's what you're doing. It's kind of the peak of your earning capacity years. If you are married, you are building a relationship with a significant other or a circle of friends or a group of like an adult community. And you're also discovering who you are as a human while you're raising your kids, because Lord knows you have no idea when you are 17 exactly who you are.
Yes.
Right? So when that hit me, I was like, so it's, we feel the pulls, but intuitively, and we're always feel like pulled in two directions. But like when you acknowledge that, oh, okay. So how do you describe the time balance? First, you have to break the job into two parts, raising a human and being a human, right? In order, and then each of those have four components, four core things you have to divide your time between. On the raising a human, there's four activities, four core responsibilities, that if you divide your time among those, you're going to raise a happy, healthy, self-confident child. And on the being a human, there's actually four different things you have to juggle your time between and tend to make sure that you are nurturing and fueling yourself as a happy, healthy, confident adult, which makes you better at raising that kid or those kids, right? So we can talk about them, but the big principle here is we all have to remember when we're raising our kids, there's some belief, societal, you know, in our veins for centuries, you're supposed to sacrifice yourself for your kids. It's true. You certainly, you know, sacrifice yourself for your kids in many, many ways. But if you let your self-care, your own well-being get neglected and go to seed, that is going to steal, and your life collapses, your marriage collapses, your health collapses, your sense of fun and happiness and connection collapses. You are in no position to nurture and bring out the best in your children. Your time, your brain, your energy are like sapped dry if your own well-being is collapsing. So you need to learn how to balance them both. And there are techniques to do it because it's a big job. You got to do it really efficiently. But the first thing is to recognize it is in service of your child as well as just nature. Mm-hmm. To be cultivating yourself while you are nurturing your kids, and everybody wins.
I've heard it referred to almost as the metaphor of, you know, what they tell you when you're first getting on a plane and they're giving you all the, you know, setup and takeoff type stuff. And they say, you know, in the event of an emergency, fasten your oxygen mask before going to someone else and doing theirs. And that's kind of what being a parent is like, look, you got to put your own oxygen mask on first.
Yes.
Then you can take care of the kids.
And it goes against their nature. You're like, right. Oh my God, are you kidding me? What if my kid dies while I'm putting on my mask? That's the fear, right? It's really primitive. But the truth is, you start putting it on your kid and your oxygen is going low and then you're not thinking clearly. And what if something happens to you? You need to really fuel yourself. Yeah, it's a great metaphor. Really agree. You got to be efficient with your self mask. That's the key, right? Like once you understand it, then you got to get good at it and masterful and learn how to do it efficiently, effectively, regularly, so that you're always fueled up and you don't wait to go on complete empty. And then it's like, I need to run away to Tahiti or somebody take these kids and I'll be back in a week, right? You got to do it regularly and efficiently.
So this may come across almost seeming sort of selfish, but I think it's actually a little bit selfless, like we're talking about. Let's talk about what are those four quadrants that have to do with the being human, the being a, you know, being a human first before being a parent.
Look, as parents, we're responsible for our child's well-being, but we're also responsible for our own For our own well-being, there's four things that we have to invest time in. And they spell an acronym, SELF, S-E-L-F, as in fueling yourself, right? So we have to make sure that we spend time sleeping, right? Because if you don't sleep and you are sleep deprived, and we know parenting is, you know, the enemy of sleep in many, many ways. It really is. You get interrupted sleep. You get short night sleep, whether you have a baby or a teenager you're waking up for, waiting up for in the middle of the night, right, for them to get home. But sleep, because without sleep, you don't have the patience. Your brain isn't working properly. You're actually not efficient, right? You're just operating at a snail's pace, and you're not functioning well. So sleep. That's S. Then there's E for exercise, right? So we need to exercise and take care of our own health. It has a different function than sleep. Exercise kind of makes you feel fit. It makes you feel strong. It makes you feel healthy. It contributes to health. It also contributes to the way your brain works and the feel-good endorphins that come, which can calm you down as you're dealing with kid issues and fears and alarms and tantrums. And, you know, it's hard to be a parent. You're negotiating, navigating with a person who keeps changing on you. So that feel good emotion really helps center you. It also gives you confidence. And finding, literally, we'll talk a little bit more about like 10 minutes a day, these like 7 minute workouts, 10 minute workouts that exercise science has proven are as effective, if not more, than 90 minutes three times a week. That's something every single parent can do, even if you hate exercise. You can do an 8 minute workout every day, and you've at least done that without stealing from anybody and only fueling yourself. So that's exercise. Love. That's the third one. That's the L in self. You got to cultivate adult relationships when you are raising kids. You cannot do it in isolation. You can't not also be nurtured. You got to nurture someone else. You need to be nurtured. And it really is a break. Like, adult relationships, whether it's significant other or friends, they give you a humor break, right? They give you perspective, like, this kid's killing me. My teenager just, like, all I asked was, would you like some salt? And they stormed away from the table. You're like, what did I say? So friends and significant others can really give you humor, perspective, a mental health break, and your own nurturance so that you can really nurture your kids. And then the fourth activity is fun. That's the F in self for fun. And Eric, I can't tell you how many clients I coach that they laugh. Exactly. They're like, fun. Are you kidding me? That's when my kids are all off in college. I will get back to my fun. But you can't take that out of your equation. The work of your day and your week must include fun, because fun for you, because fun, pure relaxation, any kind of hobby done efficiently and effectively makes you feel like you, the unique soul that you are. And when you feel like your unique self, you can recognize and nurture that in the children under your roof. Who are they? What's their unique self? So you're really role modeling and living. What does it mean to be a happy, healthy adult while raising young kids to be happy, healthy adults? Every one of those things needs a place in the fabric of your routine, not the occasional, I need a mental health break and I'm either going to do one or I'm either going to sleep or I'm going to exercise. I'm either going to have fun or I'm going to spend, you know, time with some friends. It's, you gotta balance and weave all of those in very effectively into your routines.
Yeah. So consistency from all of those, like they're a daily vitamin.
Exactly right, Eric, a daily vitamin. And when you do it as a daily vitamin, in the book I talk about this, what keeps parents from spending time on self is two things. Guilt is one, and we've talked about that, right? So enough about guilt. The other is our approach. So when we're growing up, we're used to spending large blocks of time on each of those things. We're used to like hours and hours with our friends or our significant other where time disappears. And fun in our hobbies. We spend all day on our hobbies or weeks on end and hours and exercise. Well, you have to change your approach as a parent to living your life, your self-care in 20 minutes or less, chunks of 20 minutes. Change the texture. You'd be amazed what 20 minutes really being present with a significant other or a friend where you're not talking about work, you're not talking about the kids, you're talking about each other or having fun or exercising in short bursts is enormously restorative when you do it as a daily vitamin, right? Not a big chunk. It's small chunks delivered regularly. It fuels us.
Well, and there's even a what you just said is that small amount brings to mind something else that kind of goes along with the vitamin, and it also kind of goes along with, say, prescription medicine, is this idea of the minimum viable dosage or whatever it's called. It's similar.
Yeah.
To that. It's like, hey, wait a second. You know, you don't need to take 5 ibuprofen. 1 or 2 will right. do. Like
right. I love that. I love that metaphor. I think that's exactly right. What's the minimum viable? And get away from this all or nothing. If I can't rock climb like I used to, I'm not exercising at all. If I can't, you know, have date night 3 times a week, I'm not spending any quality time with my significant other at all. If I can't, you know, do painting or my hobby the way I used to, then I just have to wait for the next 25 years when all my kids have gone off to college. No, minimum viable. And that's your baseline. Then when you get the extra time, it's a bonus. It's delightful. It's extra. You will savor it. But you've got this like daily dose. And that's what we all need, the daily dose of self-care.
We're going to take a quick break to say thank you to our 2 sponsors for making this episode possible. First up is Woven, the amazing calendar that is created to have everything you would ever need in a calendar all in one place. I love using Woven because it's got everything I need. It allows me to sync all the Google calendars that I personally use all in one place, but it can also do Microsoft calendars as well. I'm often scheduling things for day job, personal life, and this podcast, and I use Woven's powerful scheduling tools that are built into it for free that gives me personalized scheduling links. There's also the option of doing published office hours or group polls, so I can find out when a bunch of people all at once can best meet without having to do the back and forth with multiple people. Using Woven's smart templates allows me to rapidly block out my week and protect my time so I'm getting stuff done. Not only that, but then they give me insights into how I'm spending my time with their built-in analytics. I love Woven. You're going to love it too. And you can try Woven today for free by going to woven.com/podcast/beyond. That's woven.com/podcast/beyond. This episode's also brought to you by BetterHelp. Let's face it, this year's been stressful for so many of us, more stressful than usual, which is why it's great to have an option like BetterHelp, professional counseling available to you anywhere you are. BetterHelp provides you with a licensed professional counselor who are specialized in many issues, including stress, anger, relationships, anxiety, grief, family conflicts. And if at any point your counselor isn't a great fit, you can switch for free. It's convenient because you're going to be able to do this from anywhere. And it's private and it's safe. If you've been thinking about doing professional counseling, I highly encourage you to try out BetterHelp as a great option to deal with that stress, depression, anxiety, whatever it is that's holding you back, that's weighing you down. This is a great way to work through it. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they've been recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Don't wait. Try BetterHelp today. As a listener, you're going to get 10% off your first month just by visiting betterhelp.com/beyond. So join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/beyond. Self-care, again, it's not just for us. Though in and of itself, we should all be doing, you know, right. all of the things in the SELF acronym, even if we're not a parent.
Yep.
But so let's add in this other dynamic. So what's the raising human quadrant side of things look like?
Okay. So to raise happy, healthy children, we need to divide our time for them between 4 things. So we have to, and that also acronym, I love acronyms. I was always good at Scrabble. I can just see the patterns. So anyway, so it's PART, P-A-R-T, as in doing your part for another person. So the first thing we have to do is we have to provide for our kids, right? We have to, that usually involves working and making money and managing money so we can pay for things that they need to live their lives, right? Provide. The second thing we have to do, the A, is arrange the logistics of their lives. That's like, where are they going to school? How are they getting there? Did we fill out the forms? What are they having for lunch? What are we having for dinner? What are we doing on the weekend? Who's doing the dishes, et cetera, et cetera. All those logistics that are involved in running a kid's life and a household, right, in which everybody can operate. The third, the R in part, is we have to spend time relating to our kids. And that's where we get to know, that's that what people often refer to as the quality time, where you are entering your child's world and spending time on activities and topics and discussions of interest to them, getting to know who they are as the unique individuals they are, recognizing them, seeing them. And the fourth activity is T, it's in part, it's teach. We also have to teach our kids values and life skills so that they can succeed out in the world. P-A-R-T, provide, arrange, relate, teach. They're four very different activities. They feel different to deliver, and they feel different to your kids to receive. The difference between relate and teach, for example, is parents don't always realize it. Like, and we think every minute we should be teaching and guiding our kids, and that's what love looks like. And it does, and it can be. But when you're teaching your kids, you're pulling them into the adult world, in essence, and they are the student of you. When you are relating, you are entering your child's world and you are the student of that child. Huge difference to your kid. Huge. And you need to do both. Don't get stuck in just teach, because your kids will not feel seen and understood. And by the way, they also won't listen to you as well.
So then the cool thing in my mind, I'm seeing like these four, actually I'm seeing eight, like different puzzle pieces, yeah. Four that fit together on one side and then four that fit together on the other. But the cool thing is I think they're somewhat interchangeable. So I have a really quick story and I think you'll see where I'm going with this. Yesterday, so I'm working from home. My son gets home and my wife needs to go do grocery shopping really quick and then pick up my daughter. So he is occupying himself. He's doing well with that. And then he keeps coming back into my office and asking me things. And then he says, "Hey, can you come help me build a fort in my room?" And I'm like, I look, I say, "You know what? Let me take a break." And so I flip, you know, again, I try to flip out of it as much as I can, work mode, go into his room and I'm helping him and I'm asking him questions and I'm not, you know, I'm not doing it all for him, but I'm also having him be kind of the guide or the leader or whatever. And so it was, you know, there were some teachable moments there. It was like, hey, you know, think about what you want to do here and how you want to set it up. And hey, I have a suggestion. What if you did this? And he's like, oh yeah, that's good. And so it kind of kept bouncing in between, you know, teaching moment, relating and making time and all of that. And so, and actually it was extremely fun for me, which again, some people would say, oh man, I'm on a deadline. Like I got to go do that. You know, and if you're really on a deadline, like this would be hard to do, but like me taking 15, 20 minutes and stepping out of my worker role and getting down on his level and, you know, working with him and climbing into the fort even, you know, It was a potent moment. And so I said, I've got to remember this for tomorrow when I talk with you. So,
yeah, well, first, amazing story. So vivid, so applicable. It's a wonderful example on so many levels. I think you're spot on about that. Like you entered his world and then you sort of gently kind of bounce back and forth between relating and teaching, right? Because you can't completely separate them.
Right.
Right. But it worked and he listened because you entered his world first. You didn't come in and say, oh, you want me to teach you how to do a fort? Let me show you, kid.
Right.
Like you guided him, right? And that it's there's the finesse there really matters. The other thing that you talked about, which I was like, you couldn't have said it more perfectly. You said it was like 15 or 20 minutes is really what you took a break and did. It wasn't 2 hours. It wasn't 3 hours. And that 15 to 20 minutes is a remarkable piece of information. When I did the research, and I researched this book, aside from my own client work and all these decades of experience and my own experience as a parent, I thought, I can't tell parents how to divide their time unless I can know what the what the human development scientists and experts say. How much time do children need to feel loved and secure? Isn't that the question that we all want to know, right? And if we understand how much time, then we know how to balance it all. So I dug deep into the research, literally 70 years of human development research and science, the leading experts in the country and the world. And it was very hard to find a straight answer, by the way. People are all, well, it depends, depends on the kid, depends on the situation. Like, that doesn't help parents. Give me the edges. And I finally got the answer. And you actually hit on it. Here's what humans need. Kids need, thrive on, feel loved and secure when they receive short bursts of undivided, truly undivided attention delivered consistently. And when I say short bursts, it's 5 to 15 or 20 minutes tops. That is what they need, delivered regularly. Not big blocks of time delivered erratically or occasionally, but the short bursts, because kids have short attention spans. And most experts say calculate about a minute for each age of life, right? But 15, 20 minutes. So you stopped and you were able to take that break and give your kid that. And he was, I am sure, it was like a tall glass of water. That's all he needed. And then he was ready to go do his own thing again. And then you could be together but apart in the house, right?
Yeah. Well, and again,
you hit it. Yep.
This is surprising, because we're almost again talking about this minimum effective dose.
Yes.
He didn't need an hour. He needed like 15 minutes.
But you were not half on your phone, or your mind sort of like, I'll be here, but I'm keeping my to-do list for my work in my head so that I don't forget what I have to do. And that's why, like, having a really good to-do system so that you don't have to keep it in your head. You can write it down, put the whole thing on pause, go into your child's world, then come back. Those are the techniques. But that minimum viable, yes, 15 to 20 minutes can transform your child's life and can transform your own sense of self delivered consistently and just change the texture. You master that as a parent. You can do this for the full run. You really can do it. It's the long game, but you can solve it in a day. Parent who's listening, I am like, my kids are 8 and 9. I never did that. I've let myself go to seed. I haven't exercised. I take no time for myself except after everybody's asleep. And then I'm sleep deprived because my only self time is at night when everyone's asleep. Then I only get 5 hours sleep and I'm running on empty. Find 20 minutes in your day to do something for yourself. Take a 20-minute walk every day, 10-minute meditation. Find something for yourself, build it in every day, and then connect with your kids for those 5 to 15, 20 minutes. When they first wake up, when you send them off to school, at dinner and bedtime, 5 to 15 minutes, transform everybody's connection and sense of being loved, you and your kid.
Yeah. And those are small things. I mean, it may seem big. Somebody listening is like, I still don't know that I can fit that in. And I'm just like, you know what? If you're like me, you and your spouse, or even if you're a single parent, like in the evening, I know the last thing you want to do is like say, hey, kids, get off the TV. We're going to play a board game for like half an hour. And I know that's the last thing maybe they want to hear also, the kids. But at the same time, they secretly do. They want to spend time with you.
They do want to spend time with you. And you know, Eric, the key is to rebuild in those points of connection at each reconnection point in your kid's day. So when they first wake up, take the first 5 or 7 minutes to not go, hurry up, get dressed, we're late, where's your red shoe? What happened to the permission slip? What's for breakfast? Take the first 5 or 6 minutes, 7 minutes, and just be connected. Hey, how did you sleep? What'd you dream about? How you feeling about what are you going to do today? Do you remember what's on your plate? How are you feeling about it? A few minutes there, a few minutes when they get home from school or you get home from work, and at dinner, right? And if you do that in the first point of reconnection, then everybody has breathing space to do the together but apart time, because you feel like your cup got full. And then you can, like, you could be on your, you know, I don't know, reading a book while they're doing their homework, or you're piddling around in the kitchen while they're playing on the floor, as long as you're interruptible. And I think everybody can do that, and you just do it, just start it, like transition, reconnect, fully present, and then let it float. And then if you want to play a board game instead of TV, they're going to be game. They're going to be much more game.
Man, and just the compounding, you know, it's small stuff, but again, it's one little rock at a time over and over and over again, and it builds something great.
Yes, that's right. And if your kids are, listen, I'll tell you the biggest enemy to all of this at this point really is technology. And smartphones and iPads and all these things that we are constantly, it's all addictive. It's, you know, physiologically addictive. It's economically, that's the model, right? Oh, they're trying to sell eyeballs, and we want to sell listeners' ears. So don't give up all your technology. Technology can be great, but you need to be able to be in control of it. And, you know, you need to be a media mentor to your kids, no matter what their age, whether you missed the boat on this and now everybody's on their screens and they don't want to give you the time of day when you want to spend time with them, or they're still young and they're now, but just be very conscious, take your phones, park them somewhere, everybody separate from them when you're going to be present for each other or anything you're going to do. Right. And when you put that device away, separate it from your body, you can be more connected to the people in front of you or the task in front of you. And when you have a device in your hand, the minute you go onto that, you're connecting to people and projects that are not in the room. So it's powerful when it gives us access to people. We can stay close to people who are geographically far away. But the minute we do that, if there's other people in our space, we've just disconnected to the people who are geographically close. So be a media mentor. Be conscious about when you use technology, what for, and what you don't use technology for. Give a full menu to your kids and show them that we have choices and you want to be in control and use it to its advantage, but don't let it control you.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot lately with my whole family. And, you know, I've got my area in that I've got to kind of hone in a little bit more. We've talked about that on the show a number of times. And for us, mainly the reason I'm thinking about it lately is we've just shifted from summer to school year. So things kind of got way out of control over the summer. And I was like, oh, we've got to rein things in. But it's a process. It's an ongoing process.
It is. And you don't have to like fix it all at once either, right? Like pick a time of day. Dinner's a really good starting point. If just one time a day where everybody just literally disconnects from all the technology and we are here present, and then you learn how to have a conversation again, right? Just practice it and come up with like, what can we talk about? Like, what was the most interesting thing that happened to you today? What was the, what did you learn today? Like, everybody learns something every day, right? So you can share and everybody in the family can share, like learn the art of conversation. And there's lots of, like, you can Google that. There's something called the family, I think it's called the Family Dinner, a book that has like all kinds of conversation starters. In my book, I have some, like I pulled and culled from various sources, some good starter ideas to start conversations with kids at every age and stage. So start with dinner. And then, you know, practice that. And if just one time a day, everybody learns how to be away from their screens for 30 minutes and be present, then there'll be other times a day when you'll be like, oh, that was pretty good. I could do it over here too. And I could do it over there too.
Yes. But like you said, let's not get rid of everything because we want to listen to podcasts. And in fact, you've got a new one out and I am subscribed. I think everybody else needs to go subscribe as well. And it's essentially you talking about the content and having guests and having conversations about what's in the book.
Yes. And bringing the stories to life. So in the book is this combination of it's the framework, but it's also a combination of stories, like anecdotes of real clients that I've worked with and helped them provide their time for work or contain the amount of time arranging takes, which tend to monopolize all adults' time. It's expensive, everything else, and how to make time and create time for relating and teaching and self-care. So it's stories, there's science, and there's tips. And the podcast brings all of that to life. I have in every episode a client that I've worked with who talks about what they've tried, what worked, what didn't, how they had to make adjustments to make it real, right? It's like, this is real people, real life, real challenges, real solutions. I try to bring a scientist of some sort on, psychologist, sociologist, a pediatrician, somebody who can give us the science, and then some tips. And it's really fun. I'm in love with podcasting. I'm in love with listening. I love listening to yours and delivering it. And where they can find it is on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever people download.
Yeah. So what they want to look for is, you know, if they are literally listening to this on their phone right now, if they type in time to parent, they'll find it. And I'll put it in the show notes for this episode, so it's also easy to find.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
And I'll make sure to link up the book there as well, so then people can, you know, get the 1-2 punch.
Yeah, I get the 1-2 punch, and they can read the book and hear the podcast. And the book was really written to be with you for the whole journey from like cradle to college for every kid and every stage. So it's like a reference manual to keep you on track and help you guide you with better time choices and more confident time choices and really make it accessible. So and then come to my website, juliemorgenstern.com, and read about the podcast and the book page there too.
Awesome. Julie, this has been a great conversation. And again, I'm right there in the thick of this, so this is extremely helpful. I know it's going to be helpful for a lot of everybody else that's listening to this. So thank you so much for doing this, and thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you, and thank you for the time that you gave me and your listeners. And I really appreciate all your stories too. It was a great conversation, Eric.
Well, that's another podcast crossed off your podcast listening to-do list. I hope that you enjoyed listening in on this conversation with Julie Morgenstern and that you got something beneficial from it when it comes to organizing your life, when it comes to relationships, whether that's with kids, your spouse, your friends, your family. And maybe you need to share this conversation with some of those people so that they get where you're coming from moving forward. So if you would do me that favor of sharing this episode with somebody that you know needs to hear it, you can do that by hitting the share button on the podcast player app of choice that you're using to listen to this, or head on over to the show notes at beyondthetodolist.com. Thank you so much for sharing. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next episode.